Happy New Year to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up and give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Gabon and Borussia Dortmund striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who was named the 2015 African Footballer of the Year in Abuja, Nigeria.
The winner is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
The 26-year-old Aubameyang has been banging in goals in Germany's Bundesliga. He's currently the league's top scorer with 18 goals. And since joining Dortmund in 2013, he's scored 47 goals overall. Aubameyang also captained Gabon's team at the 2015 African Cup of Nations tournament in Equatorial Guinea. The Gabonese did not impress in Equatorial Guinea, though. Aubameyang scored a goal in Gabon's opening match, a 2-0 win over Burkina Faso, but that would be his only goal of the tournament, and Gabon lost its next two games and was eliminated after the group stage. Because of that, some thought Manchester City man Yaya Toure might win a record-extending fifth consecutive African Footballer of the Year trophy, since his Ivory Coast team lifted the cup in Equatorial Guinea. The vote by African national team coaches and technical directors was close. Aubameyang received 143 votes, while Toure got 136. Andre Dede Ayew of Ghana and Swansea City was third with 112 votes. Our VOA football fans will remember Ayew's father, Abedi Pele, was a three-time winner of the African Footballer of the Year award. Speaking in French after winning the award, Aubameyang said beating great players like Toure and Ayew is a real thrill.
Tu sais, quand tu es à côté de joueurs comme Yaya Touré et André Ayew, c'est une fierté de gagner ce trophée devant eux, parce que ce sont des très grands joueurs que j'admire évidemment beaucoup.
When you have contenders like Yaya Toure or Ayew, said Aubameyang, it's quite a big achievement to win such a trophy because those are great players. I have a lot of admiration for them. Meanwhile, Yaya Toure expressed disappointment over not winning again.
Quite disappointed, but I don't want to complain too much. You know what I mean. I just want to give you credit as well to Bayern. You've been doing brilliantly well this year, and Andrea Ayew as well is quite a little bit disappointed as well. What we have to do, I think, from now, we just have to play football to play, and we have to do our best.
Ivorian football star Yaya Toure speaking in Abuja, Nigeria. Mark Ouma joins us now with the other winners at the African Football Awards ceremony in Abuja.
Cameroon's Gaëlle Engana-Mowit is the Africa Female Footballer of the Year. Tanzanian Bwana Ali Samata scooped the Player of the Year based in Africa accolade, while Frenchman Harvey Renard is Coach of the Year. Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen is Young Player of the Year. His teammate Ogenekaro Etebo bagged the most promising talent of the the Year award. African champions Ivory Coast are the national men's team of the year, while Cameroon are the national female team award winners. The Democratic Republic of Congo's TP Mazembe was named the club of the year. Ghanaian Charles Giamfi was conferred the Legends Award posthumously. Cameroon's Samuel Mbappe also received the Legends Award. Somalia's Abdi Kwani Said Arab was named Football Administrator of the Year. Senegal's Football Supporters Club Alaise Kassa bagged the Fair Play Award. Gambian Bakari Gassama was crowned Referee of the Year for the second year in a row, while the Nigerian head of state Muhammadu Buhari received the Platinum Award. Meanwhile, hosts Uganda play Gabon in Injeru, some 80 kilometers east of the capital Kampala, in a friendly match on Sunday. Rwanda hosts the Democratic Republic of Congo in Gisenyi. Elsewhere in South Africa, Angola face Guinea in Johannesburg as Nigeria engage Ivory Coast in the capital Tshwane. These are build-up matches ahead of the African Nations Championships starting in Kigali, Rwanda next week. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Because this is Africa, Tami Namina, Waka Waka, Tami Namina, Sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very excited. Ni chabulile. Hola.
Cause this is Africa, Tami Namina, Waka Waka, Tami Namina, Sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Mark Ouma mentioned some of those friendly build-up matches for the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, which kicks off January 16th with two games in Rwanda's capital, Kigali. Rwanda will host Ivory Coast, and Gabon will go against Morocco. For more on the three-week tournament, let's turn once again to our African football guru, David Legg.
Well, this is a unique competition in that it's restricted to home-based players. So, for example, if you're a Rwandan and you're playing in the Democratic Republic of Congo, you're ineligible. You must be playing in Rwanda. Similarly, as a Nigerian, you must be playing in the Nigerian leagues to qualify. And the reason for this, Sonny, is the president of CAF is a hired tool. He felt some years ago that the local players were really playing in the shadow, so to speak. The Nigerian team was composed almost exclusively of overseas-based players, and that the local players were not really getting a chance to shine on the international stage. So I think this is a good initiative by CAF. It began in 2009 in the Ivory Coast with the first tournament. It was won by the Democratic Republic of Congo, a team that included Kidiaba. In 2011, it moved to Sudan, and it also went up from 8 teams to 16, which is where it stands now. The second tournament was won by Tunisia. They beat Angola 3-0 in the final. The third tournament was in 2014 in South Africa. And again, a real fairy tale finish here with Libya. Despite all their security problems post Muammar Gaddafi, they emerged victorious despite the fact that they only won one of their six games. The other five were drawn. They won the quarterfinal, semifinal, and the final against Ghana, all on penalty shootouts. So we've had a fair amount of drama. And I think Rwanda will be no different. The first thing, and a very important issue with Rwanda, is that the head of state, President Paul Kagame, is a very keen football fan, and he's right behind this tournament. Sonny, we often hear in Africa of this official and that official and this politician backing the tournament, and they're going to do this, that, and the other. But in actual fact, they do very little. But Kagame is an exception to that rule. He gets personally involved. He has said that he expects it to be a successful tournament, and I believe it will be. And Rwanda, to me, this is a stepping stone towards hosting the Cup of Nations itself. What the little Central African country has done already is host the African Under-17 Championship and the African Under-20 Championship. So they're doing it step by step. Now comes the CHAN, and if they are successful with that, I believe it's long overdue for the Cup of Nations to go to East Africa. The earliest that can do so is actually 2025. I know the Ethiopians are interested, but I think the Rwandans will officially, sooner or later, become interested. And if they can host this CHAN tournament well, successfully, get good crowds, and we have limited problems, I think they're going to be a strong candidate. On the football field, though, Rwanda are going to find it very tough. They're in Group A with Morocco, Ivory Coast, and Gabon, and that's a tough ask. Only the top two will qualify for the quarterfinals. Nigeria failed to qualify for the first two CHAN tournaments, and in the most recent one in South Africa, they finished third. They beat Zimbabwe 1-0 in a playoff to get the bronze medals, and they will certainly be among the teams to watch. They're in Group C. They're up against Tunisia, who I think will probably be their strongest opposition. They're up against Niger and up against Guinea. So there's a distinct West African flavor to that group. If you then look, Sonny, at Group D, this one is difficult to call. You've got the two Zs, Zimbabwe and Zambia. You've got Uganda featuring the 18-year-old Farouk Mia, who I'm never tired of mentioning on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
A very promising player, one to watch. And then we've got Mali, and this is a tough one to pick. I'm going for Uganda and Mali, but I could easily be wrong with both my choices. Finally, we've got Group B. It's Angola, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic, and Ethiopia. And for me, the two teams that stand out here are Cameroon and DR Congo. DR Congo and Zimbabwe, incidentally, the only two countries that have qualified for all four editions of the CHAN, which carries a $750,000 American dollar first prize. And that's certainly money that's not to be sneezed at. So essentially, Sonny, with this CHAN, we're looking for plenty of goals and plenty of good football on the field. And off the field, we'll be watching with great interest to see if Rwanda can keep up their reputation for being very good organizers of CAF international competitions.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled, Ghana's Comey, Fighter to Watch in 2016. And I write how Richard Comey is hoping to add his name to the list of world champion fighters that Ghana has produced. The undefeated Comey, who fights in the lightweight division, is in line for a world title shot possibly later in 2016. The International Boxing Federation says Comey will fight in a final elimination bout for its world title. The 28-year-old Comey is a power puncher, and his career results reflect his hard-hitting style. He's won all 23 of his pro bouts, and only two have gone the distance. The Ghanaian gladiator won both of those by unanimous decision. Comey's promoter, Nisei Sauerland, is confident his fighter can win another world title for Ghana. Sauerland says, and I quote, "He has the skill set and punching power to beat anyone at 135 pounds, and I believe it's only a matter of time before Ghana has a new world champion." Richard Comey, an African fighter to watch in 2016. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Voice of America. I heard the voice of America calling on my way.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. David Legg returns now with his latest African football quiz question.
Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League? And that includes the former name of the competition. It was then known as the African Cup of Champions Clubs. So what we're talking about, Sonny, is way back to 1964 when this competition started. So it's between 1964 and 2015. Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League?
2016 is a leap year, David, so we're going to set a deadline of Monday, February 29th, to get your entries in. David and I will now tell you where you can send your entries.
VOA!
It's David.Legg, and Legg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France Presse, .com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's David.Legg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237. So remember, February 29th is the deadline to submit your entry for David Legg's African football quiz, and the first three people with correct answers will be receiving some of those delightful VOA goodies. The year 2015 was a tough one for Zimbabwe in sport. Most of the country's sports teams failed to make a mark on the international front, much to the dismay of passionate Zimbabwean fans. For our VOA listeners who might have missed Michael Cariotti's in-depth two-part chronicle of Zimbabwean sport in 2015, well, not to worry. This evening, we bring it to you in its entirety.
From cricket to rugby via football, the year 2015 was a year that showed that Zimbabwean sport was in crisis. Team sport was a big disappointment, as not only the cricket team but other national teams also turned into punching bags of the international sporting world. However, the mighty Warriors did the nation proud by qualifying for the 2016 Olympic Games to be held in Rio de Janeiro, although that too was nothing to gloat about. The women's soccer team qualified after beating only two teams, Zambia and Cameroon, following the withdrawal of powerhouses Equatorial Guinea. This resulted in the mighty Warriors being denied the Team of the Year Award at annual National Sports Awards, with that honor going to the netball team. But still, the mighty Warriors will be there with the best the world has to offer, and Captain Felistus Mzongoni is excited about the adventure of going to Rio.
I feel so much excited because this is our first time to qualify for the Olympics. It's our first time in history.
There were, of course, some successes in individual sports like boxing, swimming, Special Olympics, and bodybuilding. Casey Coventry won three gold medals at All Africa Games.
been an honor to represent Zimbabwe at the All Africa Games, and I was just very thankful that I was able to go there and do as well as I did. You know, I've said all along that Rio Olympics will be my last big international competition, and it was very sad. It did take me a little bit by surprise how emotional I got saying goodbye to the team. Being on the podium for the last time in Africa, it's always been such a big part of my career.
Not to be outdone was boxer Charles Manucci, who retained his World Boxing Council silver title belt after systematically knocking down Gianluca Fraser in his own home country of Italy. His Zambian handlers, Oriental Boxing Promotions, represented by Chris Malunga, immediately announced they would be challenging British World Boxing Council bronze title belt holder Amir Khan.
Our next target is Amir Khan. I'm going to go to WBC convention in Cancun,
China,
to make sure that I go and bid for Charles to challenge Amir Khan. That is the route we are going for.
Sadly, though, Manucci has parted ways with Zambians, but has decided to go it alone. There were celebrations, too, for the Zimbabwe Special Olympic athletes who went to the World Games in Los Angeles. The Zimbabweans brought back 12 medals, 3 gold, 3 silver, and 6 bronze medals. Nyasha Derere was one of the athletes who brought back a gold medal.
I enjoyed the place. To me, it was like heaven on earth. Everything, the environment, everyone was cheering for us. I never knew nor dreamed that in life there are other people who are so loving, so caring. As I experienced everyone cheering up for me, signing autographs of other people's.
The winds of change also blew in the administration and blown away by the wind when Zifa's Kagbe Dube, who was fired by the Zifa Council, and Zimbabwe cricketist Wilson Manase, who lost his post to Ngoni Mukuhlani in an election. Dube has since been replaced by Harare businessman Philip Chiangwa, who on his part received the confidence of the same Zifa Council with a 40-vote win over Trevor Kelsi Joe, who could only manage 12 votes. Before his departure, Dube said the Zimbabwean football family was very ungrateful after financing the national team from his own pocket on a number of occasions.
Otherwise, I just told my boys, just enjoy your football. No pressure. We don't have any pressure. What for?
Chiangwa, however, has promised milk and honey for Zimbabwean football. He says he's going there to do a national service, not to waste his time.
I'm a man of action. Through my board and the Zifa Council, to make sure that the Zimbabwe flag and anthem plays in Qatar 2022.
Football, though, was characterized by tragedy following the death of three Zimbabwean greatest footballers, Willard Mashinkila Khumalo, Paul Gundani, and Freddie Nkwesha. On the field of play, the Zimbabwe cricket team was the most disappointing. Zimbabwe finished sixth in their 7-team World Cup group after managing only one win in 6 games. That is not all. Whitewashes against Pakistan and Bangladesh and losses to associate sides like Afghanistan have also drawn the ire of the Minister of Sport and Recreation, Makosini Ntlongwane, who has asked for a change in results. The Zimbabwe Sevens rugby team also failed to qualify for the 2016 Rio Olympic Games after losing 17-19 to Kenya in the African qualifiers in Johannesburg. As if this was not enough, the Zimbabwe Davis Cup team led by Takanyi Garanganga failed to reach the Euro-Africa Zone Group 2 stage after they were humiliated 5-0 by Bosnia-Herzegovina, for that matter at their home of Harare Sports Club. The team, however, will take comfort in the fact that they retained their place in the Euro-Africa Zone Group 3 after hammering Moldova 5-0 at the same venue. There was no joy, too, for FC Platinum, who were Zimbabwe's representatives in the CAF Confederation Cup. Norman Mapeza's side failed to reach the mid-league stage after they were eliminated in the second round 4-2 by Young Africans of Tanzania. As Zimbabweans reflect on what has been a bad sporting year gone by, it is also important that they also look forward to the future with renewed vigor and optimism. The year 2016 is an Olympic year. A number of Zimbabwean athletes, among them Kirsty Coventry, marathon runner Wurimai Juao, and rowers Michinton Croft and Peter Purcell-Gilpin, have all qualified for the Olympic Games. Qualified too are the Mighty Warriors, who are looking forward to their romance with the biggest sporting event in the world. Zimbabwe too will be hosting the International Rugby Board Under-19 World Cup, for which not only a good show is expected from the Zimbabwean team, but a successful hosting of the tournament as well. There is also the Davis Cup Euro-Africa Zone Group 3 tie against Finland, for which Zimbabwe should win to regain their lost respectability. That is not all. Zimbabwe will have two representatives in Pan-African football, Chicken Inn in the CAF Champions League and Harare City in the CAF Confederation Cup. Chicken Inn won the Kasolaga Premier Soccer League Championship, while Harare City took the Chibuku Super Cup. Both sides have the financial muscle to sustain a realistic challenge for the Pan-African titles. Manuti too will be going for probably the biggest fight of his life when he challenges Khan for that WBC silver belt. Should he win against Khan, that will bring him closer to a big money fight against American Floyd Mayweather.
Like I always say, for every fight, everybody had a game plan. As of right now, there's not a blueprint on how to beat Floyd Mayweather. No one has found the way to break the Mayweather code.
Manucci has not rested during this festive period and has been in training for the fight against Khan.
I'm looking at to challenge Amir Khan WBC silver, or to get WBC gold to Mayweather.
The Warriors are in camp preparing for the 2016 African Nations Championships to be held in Rwanda, and the same team too will be on the road at their first Swaziland, Guinea and Malawi in the qualifiers for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals. The Minister of Sport and Recreation, Makosi Ntlongwane, has promised better government funding for Zimbabwe national teams in 2016.
We have Olympics. We have our boys that will be traveling to Rwanda. We need to find a way of assisting those projects.
That, however, appears to be coming a bit late after the Warriors were thrown out of the 2018 World Cup after failing to pay a paltry $67,000 owed to former coach Brazilian Valinos. Now that 2015 is gone, the focus should be on the year 2016, hoping that it will bring celebration to Zimbabwean sports lovers. Reporting in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Sporty greetings.
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942. When you hear the VOA identification, press 60. And please include your name and where you are calling from.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Finally, an update on Ghanaian defender Joshua Yarrow, who was a guest on the Sunny Side of Sports in 2014. Josh has signed with Major League Soccer, foregoing his final year of U.S. collegiate eligibility. Yarrow played three seasons for the Hoyas of Georgetown University right here in Washington. Josh is expected to be one of the top picks in the MLS draft on January 14th. Joshua Yarrow getting ready to launch a Major League Soccer career. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.